Thanks for listening to Wellspring, presented by Spectrum Health Zeeland Community Hospital on 1450 WHTC, Holland's news leader.
Here's Sarah Dacasloot.
Thanks, Juke. Good morning and welcome to Wellspring, a live broadcast sponsored by Spectrum Health Zeeland Community Hospital. This morning, my guest is John Slaughter, a computer technician from Zeeland Community Hospital. He's here to give you some tips on computer security so you have peace of mind when you go online. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Juke, Sarah, and
listening audience.
It's nice to have you here today, John. When I asked you to be on, you said yes right away, so appreciate that. What's your role at Zeeland Community Hospital?
Well, for the hospital, I wear many hats. I support software, hardware, printers, servers, conference rooms, and I also order equipment and pretty much anything else that comes in.
And you are a troubleshooter, aren't you, John?
Yes.
So if I call you up, there'll be many times where I'll call John and I'll say, John, I have a problem, and you walk people through it, don't you?
Yes.
How many years have you been involved with information technology?
Oh, boy. I've been in the field since probably 1990, and that's about 24 years. Boy, I really can't believe it's been that long, Sarah.
Well, you don't beat Juke. Juke, you've been here, what, 60 years, right?
62 years.
Yeah, when I said that to John. What do you enjoy about your work?
Well, I really enjoy meeting new people and the diversity it brings. I like helping others problem solve and helping with new projects. I also enjoy working with new technology that's ever-changing and just being a liaison between many departments and locations.
You know, in 24 years, John, you've seen a lot of different things. And one thing during that time that we have seen is the Internet. It's a wonderful resource, but it's important to make our computers secure. And it's important to use a secure password. Juke, I'm going to get you involved in this. What do you think is a secure password? And then we'll have John respond to tell you if your answer is correct.
Something with both the numbers and letters in.
Okay.
At least.
Very good, yep. They're recommending now that you have a minimum of 12 characters and ideally 16 or more now, and it should contain numbers, at least one capital letter, and a special character like an exclamation point or a pound sign.
I usually use some Dutch words.
There you go. It's about the same.
That's a great thought, Juke.
Yep.
How often should you change your password, John?
Well, this is typically up for debate. Everybody has a different opinion, but typically it should be every 2 or 3 months.
And that's important. I know at the hospital we get emails that say, you know, periodically that we have to change our passwords. And, you know, why are we changing the passwords, John?
Well, it keeps it more secure, and when people use like a stagnant password for a long time, it's just easier for hackers to get that information, so it's recommended that it changes periodically.
So how do you change your password?
Well, if you have an email service like Gmail or Yahoo, typically there's a place easily that will be able to change your password. Sometimes it's found under the top, under a settings location, and it asks you for the old password and the new password, and it's just pretty easy to change.
You know, with passwords, I mean, many, many people are on the Internet for different things. You know, you might be on there for your Gmail. You might be on there for your bank. You know, you may be checking your stocks. You know, all of these different places that you go. You know, it's much easier to use the same password.
Yes.
Juke's saying
something
yes.
Something simple.
It's something simple. But, John, is it wise?
Well, it is easier by far to use the same password, but it is not recommended. Typically, with identity theft on the rise, to have your same accounts and same passwords clear across with every account, it's not recommended, because if they hack one account, they can hack them all. And this could lead to tragedy, especially with your banking system or all your bank accounts, your different email systems. They could hack into all those, and every social media site that you would visit, it could actually hack into all those as well. So,
okay, I'm going to stop you a second, John. When you say hack, you know, that's a term. There's all these computer lingo words out there. What is hacking?
Well, it's stealing somebody's information and using that to their advantage. It doesn't matter if they're just wanting to fool around with that information or actually use it for like financial gains or reasons like that.
And how do people do that?
Well, they have many software products out there. They actually have conventions now that will share that information on how to best hack somebody. And they actually target businesses sometimes just for fun.
So, okay, so you're talking about that we should have different passwords. And I mean, Juke, I mean, you responding, you know, it's much easier to have one. So if you have different ones, how should you remember them or keep track of them?
Well, typically what you can do is you can have a paper logbook that can help you track your items, mm-hmm. but make sure that you keep that safe and secure and out of sight, and it's recommended you lock it up in a secured location so that just not everybody can have access to that. I know where there's a lot of different sites that you can visit, and a lot of them are asking you to register with a username and password, and if you have a different username and password for all of those, it might be a little difficult, but typically, just make sure you if you want to write that down, write it down, but make sure it's in a secured location.
Okay, John, you made me think of something because, you know, sometimes you'll go to a website and there'll be a box that you can check and it will say, you know, remember my password or remember my username on this particular website.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about my library card,
yep.
Okay? Is it safe to say that? You know, I mean, to say, yes, remember it?
Yes, what it does is puts what's called a cookie on your computer, and it will remember that the next time you enter that information. It's not recommended for financial sites like your bank, because sometimes that will actually log your password, and if you lose your laptop or somebody breaks into your house and steals your laptop, it has that information, they can easily access that. So it's not recommended to have that on for any financial information.
It's also important for your computer to have automatic updates. How often should you do this?
Well, it's recommended that you allow automatic updates to run daily. You can set up to run when you are sleeping so it doesn't interrupt you or anything like that when you're working on your device during the day.
So how do you enable that feature on your computer?
Typically, operating systems like Windows 7, Windows 8, they're a little bit different, but normally what you do is you go into Start, Control Panel, and System. There's a Windows Update function in there. You usually go through a Change Settings option, and this will allow you to adjust it when and how often it runs.
So if you have a computer, is it truly an automatic update? That's not something that you're going to have to, you know, put on your computer. It's going to automatically do it?
Yes, typically it will run and it will scan at the same time after it's done updating. And then there's logbooks in there. You can go in there and see if actually anything, it found anything and cleaned anything out.
Okay, it's also important that your computer have a firewall. You know, again, another term. I mean, I know what a firewall would be, but what is it for the computer?
What that is a security between your device and the internet to make sure that there's not any internet attacks going on. And typically a firewall is part of the operating system or the virus protection system has them typically built in these days.
And it safeguards from internet attacks, that's what you're saying. So what about antivirus programs? Are those different than a firewall?
They can be typically built in, the firewall can be built into the antivirus, but antivirus is scanning your computer for any viruses or malware.
Do you have any recommendations for some that are free?
The one I've used at home for a lot of years has been called Microsoft Essentials, but there's other ones like Avast and AVG.
And what about ones that you need to pay for, recommendations?
There's a couple that I can think of, McAfee and Norton, or they call it Symantec now. Those come to mind. Those are typically around $70 a year for maintenance.
If you have a question, you may call WHTC at 395-1450. That's 395-1450. My guest is John Slaughter, and he is in information technology at Spectrum Health Zealand Community Hospital, and he's giving some tips on how to be secure when you're online. John, you know, what if someone is not comfortable setting up their computer security?
Well, that's a good question. A lot of people don't feel comfortable with that, and they want to consult with somebody. There's a couple companies that I can think of. One's in Wyoming. It's called ATEC Computers. They're on 28th Street in Rogers Plaza. And the Geek Squad is another one that comes to mind. They're at Best Buy. They can assist as well. I believe ATEC's a little bit cheaper, and they do a good job, but Best Buy does as well.
Email. Wonderful technology. Many people use it. What are some tips for using email safely?
Well, there's a lot of spam out there.
Okay, spam. Juke, we're not talking about the meat out there,
no,
the canned
right.
meat. No, that's
no,
right.
No, not the meat.
What is spam?
Well, what that is a email that's sent out to multiple people at the same time. They don't really care who it's sent out to. Sometimes it's by the thousands. And what they want people to do is click on a link in there just so they can either give them an ad to purchase something or notify them or even do worse things like give them a virus or malware on their computer.
So should you open an email if it's from someone you don't know?
You should not. You should just delete it if you don't know who it came from, especially if the header doesn't show anybody or the subject line is blank. Go ahead and delete that.
So what happens if you do open the attachment for an email from someone you don't know?
Well, you'll never want to do that, but if you do, hopefully your antivirus system will take care of that. But there's other things you can do to do like a system restore on your system, and that will restore your system to a couple days ago or a week ago or whatever time frame you want to do.
You know, sometimes they talk about spyware. That's another term that's out there. What's spyware?
Well, it's pretty much what it sounds like. It's a software that is put on your device to spy on you, and it watches every move, and when it can, it tries to steal your information.
I want to go back to the system restore. When you say, okay, let's say you've opened an email, you've opened an attachment, and you realize, you know, it was something that you shouldn't have done. So you've gone to your system restore, and as you said, that will allow you to maybe go back the day before, you know, 24 mm-hmm. hours. Does that mean that you're going to lose everything that you've done in that 24-hour time period? So let's say, for example, you were working on a Word document or you were in Excel or something. Are you going to lose that information?
No, it doesn't touch any of your files that are out there. It does change your registry on your operating system, and what that will do is it will actually just change your operating system back to where it was prior to the virus hitting your system. But as far as your documents, like say you were typing in a Word document, all your changes should still be there and should be safe.
Let's talk about email scams and the clues that you use to spot them. You know, one type of scam is an official notice. Around, you know, let's say tax time, you may get something from the IRS. It looks official. What should you look for to know that it's not something that's really officially from the IRS?
Yeah, we see this quite a bit. Typically, if an email is not addressed directly to you, it doesn't list your name and any other information. It's typically spam or malware. If an address comes from a wrong account or looks like it's really generic, please always just delete those emails.
You know, another scam is an email that says you're the lucky winner of a lottery.
Oh, yes. I see those all the time. They usually come from like Nigeria or UK or Kings of Something or lawyers, etc. Just delete those types of emails because they're only interested in one thing, and that's your money. They want you to send them money so they can send you money. Now, does that make sense, Sarah?
Well, never open one that says that you're a recipient of money.
No.
You know, many people also purchase online. What do you need to be aware of? How do you know it's a trusted vendor?
Well, first of all, you want to look in the address bar in the top left, and it usually says like HTTPS, and the S is important. That means it's secured. Otherwise, you can see things in the bottom bar that says like BBB for Better Business Bureau or Trustee, or there's things like McAfee or VeriSign Secured. Other things you can check would be like if the site uses a phone number listed under the Contact Us page.
You know, as we were preparing for the show, John, you brought up something about cell phones that I had never thought about. What do you need to be aware of with cell phones?
Well, cell phones are like any other device now. People do a lot of things in their cell phones, and it's recommended that you don't do any online shopping while using like an open Wi-Fi, because what can happen is people can swipe your information like they can on anything else, and it's just recommended to safeguard your data by setting up a password through your phone and then through the security systems.
You know, what resources are out there that you would recommend that would help people with Internet safety?
A very good one that I can think of, you can find it at Kent District Library or KDL.org. There's Amazon.com or eBay.com. It's the book called Using the Internet Safely for Seniors, and this will give you useful tips and tricks in what to do and what not to do. Also on Google, you can find just about every topic you can imagine by entering what you're looking for. There also may be some community ed classes that are offered in your area as well.
And John, we're out of time, but the one thing I think you would want to say is never give out personal information. Correct? Your social security number, your address.
Yes, never, ever in email or anywhere.
And we're out of time. Until next week, Spectrum Health Zeeland Community Hospital wishes you well.
This is Wellspring, a service of Spectrum Health Zeeland Community Hospital on 1450 WHTC, Holland's news leader.